words that you could put in there. But that's because we're human. That's because this flesh that we have to live in is just another battle that we have to go through. We've been studying in Bible study, the seventh chapter of Romans, and Paul is just so good at explaining. He says in the latter part of that chapter, "O wretched man that I am, who shall free me from this body of death?" Sin is with us continually. It never stops. It is with us day and night, Sunday through Monday, or Sunday through Saturday, however you want to say it. But it's constantly there. And God knows that. He knows it. He knows what we're going through. He knows the struggle. He knows the issues and the problems that we face. He knows the things that Satan puts into our head to try to remind us of how miserable and wretched we are. He knows all that. And as we look in this chapter, in reading it, again, he's talking about what the children of Israel are supposed to do. But it's also what we are supposed to do. We can take this and we can put it into this day and age, put it into the times that we are living at right now, and take that advice that he gives and use it. Let's begin with the first verse. There's 20 verses, and I'll read them all. Let's begin with verse 1 and read down through the 20th verse. That's Psalm 147, in Jesus' name. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them by all their names," or calls them all by their names. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casteth out the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, and who prepares rain for the earth, who maketh grass grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Lord, we know that your words are true. You have written them down for us to read, and you have encouraged us with them. Father, we pray this morning that you would open these words to us, and that, Father, that we may leave here glorifying your name. In Jesus' name, amen. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely," or praise is appropriate. And it is indeed appropriate for God, because he deserves every bit of it that we could possibly dream up as humans, and it's never sufficient. When he talks about praising God in this particular verse. As I've already said, it's the children of Israel had come, they had come back from captivity, they had come back home. And why shouldn't the praises be given to him? Because he watched over them those so many years while they were gone, those so many years while they were captive. He's watched over us, each and every one of us. We're an older congregation, you know, and I'm not dwelling on that. But what I mean is that he has watched over each one of us from infancy all the way up to today. He hasn't left us. Oh yeah, we've done things. We've done things wrong. We've done things that certainly wouldn't please him. And yet he continues to love us, and he continues to have compassion on us. That alone is worthy of praise. But when we look to see that precious gift that he gave to us on that cross, how much more praiseworthy is he? How much more do we deserve, or does he deserve our praise and our love and our comfort? Excuse me. As we walk each and every day in this life, and I guess that's one of the thoughts that I had. I don't know how it is with you, but I know it is with me that, Lord, I need some help in this particular area, whatever it is, the difficulty that I'm going through, or just a minor little detail. And then, after it's all over and everything's turned out fine, I just continue walking. And at times, but at the end of the day, oh yeah, I asked God to watch over this, and I never thanked him. Humans can be so forgetful, and at times so uncaring. But we should constantly be thanking God for what he's done for us, for the things that we've asked for that he's fulfilled, the things that we've asked for that he hasn't fulfilled. We've heard things, issues on that, sermons on it even. But always recognizing that he has the best in mind for us. And again, we need to praise him. We need to thank him. Thank him for those little things. Thank him for the things that really, in our minds, with him, it's not that big a deal. Yes, it is. Because in recognizing the fact and thanking God that he answered the prayer, that he protected or guarded or did whatever it was necessary to fulfill that prayer that we had made, we're giving him glory and honor. We're recognizing the fact that he is in control of every little situation. It does not matter how big or how small it is. He is in charge of it. He's in control of it. And that's why he so richly deserves the praise and the honor that we can give him. Are we somebody special, somebody important? You know, our praise and our honor and our glory that we give to him is so important. Yeah, it is. Because that's what God asks us for. That's what he wants from us. To recognize that we indeed are his children. And we indeed recognize him for who he is and what he has done. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. It's very difficult to heal a broken heart. You can't physically go in there and put a Band-Aid on it you're fixed, everything's fine. It doesn't work that way. It is a spiritual thing, I guess you could say. For someone who is struggling, who's done something wrong, or who even hasn't done anything wrong, but yet feel their sinfulness. They feel the unworthiness, I guess if you might call it, that I'm not worthy of what God has done for me. And he heals it. Whether he heals it through scripture, through words, whether he heals it through a friend coming up and uplifting you, or he heals it through a message from someone speaking. But he does take care of it, and he will continue to take care of it. So he heals those brokenhearted, and he heals, and he binds up the wounds, the things that have happened to a person, whether fairly or unjustly or whatever the case may be. That's not, I won't even go there, but he is there to heal through his word, to heal through his love and his compassion. Because sometimes the wounds of the spiritual wounds, I guess maybe you might call it, sometimes the wounds of words, a lot of times words can hurt. They can hurt deeply. And God heals those things and comforts and strengthens. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them by their names. He can do that. He made them. He knows how many there are out there. I saw a thing just the other day, was it yesterday? Some telescope that's floating around up there found a new universe. And everybody's all going gaga over it, and just, it's so exciting. But God knew it. He made it. It's not something that we need to really focus on. It's not something that we really need to be concerned with. God made those things, and he knows what's there. He knows what's out there. And then he goes on, he says, great is our Lord and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. And the Lord lifts up. He lifts up the meek. He calls the wicked down to the ground. Or he casts the wicked down to the ground. That term meek is one that is used many times, sometimes to indicate weakness or uncertainty. But for the most part, it's an indication of someone that's humble. And just because a person is humble does not mean that they are weak at all. It's just that they don't need to put out any type of say anything really that would make them appear to be something, because they know where their salvation is. The translation of the word meek is being tender, being gentle, and free. Free from pride. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't that be a great thing to be free from pride? To be tender and be gentle? I worked with a fella a number of years ago. And just by the way he did things, by the way he lived, I have no idea. Well, I shouldn't say I don't have any idea. I know what his faith was, one I didn't agree with. But yet he had a countenance about him, and he had he just had a way about him that was gentle. It was meek. He was free from pride. He was humble. He didn't get carried away. He didn't get all upset and flustered over issues that took place. His attitude was, we'll fix it. And then went on from there. A lot of people that I was working with at the time, a lot of people commented on it. A lot of people commented on how decent a person he was. And he was. There's no question about that. To be that way is a wonderful thing. but also to be that way and giving the glory to God is better yet. Giving glory to God, because he is the one that gives a person that attitude. The psalmist says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp unto our God. Psalms, a lot of times, there's a lot of musical instruments that are mentioned in Psalms, different ones. And they're all used to sing praises unto God. There's some I know in years past, you know, they take or do all kinds of crazy things because it's a musical instrument. But they can be used for praise. They can be used, and God even says it in here. Use it. Use the harp, and another, I think the other translation, ESV, says lyra, which I think is a musical instrument. Might even be the same thing, a harp, just called a different name. But the point is that use it to God's glory. Use it to his praise. He goes on then, he says, he covers the heaven with clouds and prepares the rain for the earth, and he makes grass grow unto the mountains, and he gives beasts the food, and the young ravens which cry, and he delights not in the strength of horses, he takes not pleasure in the legs of men. That 10th verse, when he talks about the strength of horses, I thought, well, that's kind of an odd thing to talk about. Well, I started looking into it a little bit. At that time, during the time of David, there were, and this is referring back into the Roman armies, I guess maybe it would be the best way to say it. Horses were used in chariots and so on. They were called war horses. But it was interesting. They were trained to be extremely brave, to be extremely strong, and yet still gentle. They could be handled without any problem at all. So when he says he delights not in the strength of the horse, it's not because of how they were trained for war, but the gentleness of mankind, or the gentleness of the person or the individual or the animal, whatever. But to be gentle and to be compassionate, that's what God wants. He says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, for those that hope in his mercy, or those that are assured of his mercy. He takes pleasure in that for us. And these last verses, verses 12 through 20, are basically, they're praises for his providence. They're praises for what he has done. Excuse me. It says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, and praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed the children within thee. He makes peace in their borders. He fills thee with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. His word is just going to all four corners. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoar frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. This is our God. This is our God. This is what he did even during the time of the psalmist, but this is what he does today. He's in total, complete control and in total, complete charge. Absolutely, completely, totally. And he asks us to trust him and to believe in him and to believe on what he says. And not to get caught up with the things of this life, the things of the world, and all the craziness that's going on. He doesn't want us to even get involved with that or be concerned with it. But what he wants is for us to recognize him for who he is. And in that last verse, he has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known him. Praise ye the Lord. And that's what he wants from us. He wants our praise. He wants us to recognize who he is and continually. There was a thought that I've had from time to time. Well, God's too busy to be concerned with this. It's so minor. We're not going to concern him with that. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to voice our concerns. And through that, we praise him for what he has done. I'd like to read those words again in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Because for me, they go so well with what we've talked about in this text. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, don't run ahead of him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Stay with God. Stay behind him and follow him. Don't run ahead of him, because that's just turmoil. But if we stay with him and walk with him, then we will be comforted. And he loves that. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your love. We thank you that, Father, that you have continued to watch over us. And we pray, O God, that we would constantly be turning to you for every little detail of our lives, because you indeed are interested in them, and you indeed want to know about them. And through that, we praise you. So, Father, we thank you for that blessing. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.